Hello, I'm John Marshall, director of the Roush Center for the Cure of GI Cancers at Georgetown's Lombardi Comprehensive Cancer Center in Washington, D.C., and I want to welcome you to the 2016 version of the Roush Center Symposium, Fighting a Smarter War Against Cancer, where we bring experts together really to do just that. And my sort of fundamental principle is I invite people to our symposium that I want to hear from. And so I'm so excited to be joined today with a great new face on the scene, for me at least, in the world of GI cancers. And as we work to improve cancer outcomes for all of our patients, there continues to be a significant disparity among different select populations. And in particular, something that we personally, I'll just confess, in Washington, D.C., do not focus much on the Latino population. We have every sort of type of population here, but so we don't focus on one in particular, but I know it's an incredibly important thing. And so I'm joined today by Marcia Cruz Correa, who's a professor of medicine at the biochemistry at the University of Puerto Rico's Comprehensive Cancer Center in San Juan. Thank you so much for joining us. And really what I want to get out of you today is, what are some of the key things that Latino populations face with regard to colorectal cancer that may distinguish them from other populations? And how are you addressing that?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. A pleasure to be here. So if you look at the U.S. Latino population, it's really a very diverse population. And depending on where you are, the group of Latinos that you see are different. So that means that if you are in the west side of the U.S., you see people that are usually from Mexico. Mm-hmm. If you go to the east coast, like here, you see Latinos that usually come from the Caribbean.
Central America.
So Latinos, the word Latinos actually means represents a very diverse group of people that have their genes come from very different places. Mm. So you have Latinos that have more African ancestry. Mm. You have Latinos that have more Indian, or Latinos that have more European. So because of that, the risk of the population also varies. Mm. So when you ask a Latino, you know, anywhere in the U.S., do you have a risk of getting colon cancer? The most common answer is no. Because they will think, if they're a woman, they think, my risk is to have breast cancer. Mm. If you're a man, my risk is to have prostate cancer. But guess what? Colorectal cancer is the second most common cause of cancer death among Latinos, and that shouldn't be the case.
Are there any particular stigma? I know everyone doesn't want to be screened for colon cancer.
True. But
are there any particular stigmas within the Latino population around this?
Yeah. There are people that have looked at that, and I think the biggest barrier is really not knowing about it, right? Mm. But once you know about the fact that you have a high risk of getting colorectal cancer, like any other group right in the U.S., then there is a stigma. And one of the things that we talk about is the whole machismo within the different groups. And when you look at the data, colorectal cancer incidence is higher among men than among women, especially in the Latino. It's not a huge difference, but their numbers are there. And, you know, so it tells you what's happening. Are women getting more screened than men? And the answer is yes. So we think that it could be the whole, you know, that could be one of the barriers, or the machismo of having a colonoscopy. But one of the things that I tell them is that, you know, forget about it, one day of doing a colonoscopy, right? That could actually save your life.
Yeah. So we do need to, all of us, drill for maybe all populations down on get your screening done.
Absolutely.
Really what I think your expertise is, and what we're all interested in, is can we figure out on a genetic level, why are some people getting colon cancer and some people not? And, you know, we've talked about the obvious explosion, or at least immersion, of a great number of young people with colorectal cancer. Maybe talk a little bit about your own personal research and what you're doing in that space.
Yeah, so I think for me this is personal, right? Mm. Whenever you see a patient that is, you know, 30-something, you know, early 40, that is working, that has kids, and then they just present all of a sudden with rectal bleeding or weight loss, and then you do a colonoscopy and you find a cancer, that really hits me. Mm. Those are individuals that we are not looking at, right? Mm. Because the screening guidelines in the U.S. are to start screening at age 50, except for the African-Americans, that the American College of Gastro actually recommends to start earlier, at age 45. Mm. But the data is not up. You know, people are not doing that. Mm. So you wonder why. Why, when you look at the incidence of colon cancer in Latinos in their countries, for instance, it's lower, and when they move to the U.S., that incidence goes up. Mm. And there have been people that have been looking at, you know, what are the reasons? And my laboratory have been focused on the genes, right? So we've been trying to see whether or not the genes that we inherit really increase our risk of getting cancer, or rather than the genes, is something that we're doing. And we have found certain hits that actually are more prevalent among people that come from Latin communities or Latin countries.
Let me ask you a basic question about where you're getting your genes from. I mean, where are your populations? We all want our biobanks. Tell me a little bit about this, where you're getting the samples from.
So I'm in Puerto Rico right now. So we actually have a large cohort in the island that brings people from the island and also from the Caribbean. So we have people from the Dominican Republic, Jamaica, and some other, you know, nearby islands. But to look at genes and look at those genes that are increase your risk of colon cancer, you need many, many people. So we actually join a big team that is in the U.S. To be able to look at about 6,000 individuals. So from that group, we have about 4,000 that are people with controls, and then about another 2,000 or so that are people with cancer. So from Puerto Rico and the Caribbean, about, I would say about 25% of those samples are Latinos from the Caribbean. So we look at that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's, and that's important because I think people put Latinos like all together, like Asians all together, like, you know, they're genetic variants. So, but you see, the question is, can genes explain it all? And my, and I'm sure yours, I don't think so. I think that the genes increase the risk, but that happens only in a very few number of people that get hereditary cancer, maybe 5% of everyone that gets colon cancer. So what happens to the other one? And I think genes could be modified by the way we eat. And that's the second big question that we have in our laboratory. We're looking at bacterial gut genes, and we're looking at whether or not we can modify the expression of the genes that are produced by the bacteria by what we eat. So that's another big line, and we're doing that in our patients.
Well, that's what we're looking for, too, is some sense of control. Can we actually understand, you know, we are what we are, we are our genes, but can we influence our risk by what we eat? And we read so much about that, and there's so much conflicting data. It would be nice to have some real science that drives us in that direction. Do you think, how far away are we from something like that? I feel like it's just the beginning.
I agree with you. I mean, there's so much information that we don't know. But I always put this into the perspective of those classic people that have hereditary cancer. So let's go to the Lynch syndrome population. So those are individuals that are born with a mutation in a gene, one of the mismatch repair genes, that increase the risk for getting colon cancer. So you would say that if you have a family, that the, let's say the mother has a mutation in one of the genes, she gives this, right, she passes this to the children, you would expect that all of them, the mother and the children, will have the same risk of getting colon cancer. But the answer is no. So you could have a very high penetrance, high risk of getting colon cancer, mutation, and yet your risk of getting cancer is different. How do you explain that? Because we're not one gene, right? If we were one gene and we could control everything we eat and all our environment, everybody would have the same thing. It doesn't happen because the expression of the proteins of the genes are modified by other genes. And it could also be that the food, that the environment, everything else that we are exposed to change the expression of other factors that actually develop cancer. So in that model, we even don't see it. How can we see it in people that have, you know, a mixture of genes? So I think that it's much more complex. But we're trying to understand that,
Well, I'm so excited, and I can't wait to hear the rest and all of the rest of the story that you're going to tell us later today at our symposium. Dr. Marcia Cruz Carrera, thank you so much for coming up to Washington, D.C. to share your insights with our group today at the symposium.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I'm excited to be part of this group.
And thanks to Medscape for helping to support and get the word out about the work that she and others are doing in the world of colorectal cancer.